brother and sister Beek. They are missionaries to the UK. They focus in on Scotland, and we have asked them to come and minister to us. I'm excited about missionaries that continually to come, and sometimes we have them on Sunday mornings because it keeps the church aware of what God is doing around the world. So not just right here in West Palm Beach, but around the world, the great revival that is taking place. And these precious men and women sell all that they have and leave this country, and they go into a foreign country and there begin to do their best to minister the gospel in cities and villages that do not have apostolic churches. So we lift them up in prayer. We support them financially. And I tell you, my hat is off to this church, who is always in the top 10 of the state of Florida, very often in the top 20 of the country in giving in missions. And I am so thankful for your giving and your support to our precious missionary families. So will you put your hands together and welcome to this pulpit, Brother and Sister Beek.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's great to be here tonight. We want to thank Brother Kyle for allowing us to come and share our burden for the United Kingdom. And we want to thank you. This is our second time being here. We were here on our last deputation, our very first deputation. Brother Kyle allowed us to come, and you took us on as a partner. And because you gave, we were able to teach 4 years of Bible school. We were able to establish a work in the city of Edinburgh that is continuing still today. And we were able also to train pastors to take over other works. That's because of you. Thank you. Because you gave, we could go. And that we really, really, from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate that tonight. And they're going to try and bring up our program there. At this time, I just want to say thank you also to everything that's going on. And also in the back, we do have a table, just so you know. We do not sell anything, so please do not ask to buy anything off our table, because we're here on a visa, and so therefore we do not sell anything to you. But I like that three-letter word, B-U-T. We take donations. And if you see something on that table that you really like and would like to take it home with you, you ask my wife after service how much of a donation you have to give, and you can take it with you. Because you're donating to the work of the Lord. We need to raise funds for baptistries. We need to raise funds for portable baptistries, for foreign tax, computer equipment, literature, all these things. And that's what you are doing when you give it. And so when you when you donate, you are giving to the work of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. When we get this, I remember before service telling our brother back there, technology always messes up. Only when you need it. I love technology, and I'd love to throw it out the door every once in a while, too. You should just be able to go on and get it there now. Yeah. There we go. I think. Just give it a second. There we go. We thought you would like to walk in the missionary shadow for a few moments. And so this is a picture of me we took with a couple of AIM workers. And I'm pretty sure you understand what AIM workers are. But an AIM worker is somebody that must be 18 years of age and older. There is no age limit. But you must be at least 18 years of age. And you have to have your pastor's permission in order to be an AIM worker. They come alongside. And we were out traveling. We took this picture of myself in a shadow. And tonight, some of these slides, we're going to play some music and the slides. They will stop. Don't worry about it. We're just going to speak to you for a few moments, and then we'll go on for some more slides. It'll stop at the flag. But as they're playing tonight, I will interject some things. This is Stirling Castle in the city of Stirling. This young man, all I did was baptize somebody else and say, "Here's water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized?" Emptied his pockets and jumped in the tank. It still happens, folks, that quick. This is part of the group in Kamny that we went to pastor. These folks live 168 miles north of us, and we went up there to pastor. We're going to share a little bit with them, with you tonight about them. And in case you didn't realize, that's your bagpipe music. This is the ministry team in the Northern District. We have three districts, Northern, Southern, and Central. This is the district my wife and I are a part of. Some of these pictures are taken from all over the United Kingdom, plus the Republic of Ireland. This is our son James with a group of men from Dublin, Ireland. Our son came over to see what we were doing on the field. He met the other missionary's daughter, the Kellys, and now has married her, lives in Scotland, giving us two beautiful granddaughters. So we have family on the field. This is a church service in the city of Glasgow, Reverend Kelly presiding. This is the building that we rent in the city of Edinburgh. We call it Church of Hope United Pentecostal Church. Not this building here, but I mean, we'd like this one. We rent also, but churches are changed into art galleries, into bars, into dance halls, everything but a church, because they do not want religion. This is a church service in the city of Edinburgh. We have seven different nations represented in this service, including Scottish people. This is Edinburgh Castle in the center of the city. And this is a picture of one portion of the city taken from Edinburgh Castle. The man on your left is an AIM worker. That's our daughter-in-law, and Jeeva Pillay. Jeeva and Cassandra Pillay have been with us since we started the church in the city of Edinburgh 10 years ago. This is a couple that came as AIM workers from Odessa, Texas. And this is a group of Filipinos from Dublin, Ireland. This here is also known as the Saltair or the Scottish flag.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that His truth is marching on? Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be a part of carrying that wonderful gospel to Scotland. Hallelujah. I want to thank Brother Kyle and Sister Kyle for having us in the church here in West Palm Beach. Come back and share our burden and what God has been doing in Scotland. Thank you very much. I also want to thank Mother's Memorial while I'm here for all the wonderful things that they do for the missionaries, for the washers and the dryers and the fridges and the stoves. That is such a blessing to the missionaries and especially to me. And from the bottom of my heart, ladies, I want to say thank you very much. And I also want to thank the youth who helps us travel throughout the land of Scotland, reaching souls for the kingdom of God because you help with our She's for Christ vehicle. Thank you for being a blessing to the missionaries. A very famous author by the name of John Steinbeck said this: "You talked of Scotland as a lost cause, and that is not true. Scotland is an unwon cause. But it is our desire today to reach every soul in Scotland for the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scotland is an English-speaking nation, but the Scots have their own language, and they speak with a very thick brogue. And tonight I'm going to ask you to stand and open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalms. Many of their words are the same as ours, but they are spoken different, or they mean different things. If you will open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalms, I want to read it to you tonight like this. And if you have it, please say amen. Please try follow along with me. The 23rd Psalm is a beautiful psalm, and it is about God's care as He is our shepherd and we are His sheep. And He cares for His children, and He cares for them in all circumstances of life. Follow along. "Was my shepherd, will I can. The Lord Himself is He. He leads me where the grasses green and Bernie's quaint that be. Oft times I've found a wah with gang and wanna far wah. He fins me oot, he puts me ret, and brings me ham and aw. Though I pass through the gruesome cloak, fenna ken, he is near. His muckle crook will me defend, say I've nought to fear. Ilt comfort whilk a sheep could need, his thoughtful care provide. Though wolves and dogs may prowl about, in safety me he hides. His goodness and his mercy bade, nay doot will abide with me, while folded on the fields of time or eternity. That is the 23rd Psalms in Broad Scots.
Amen. Praise God. If you can just bring mine back up there, brother, I'd appreciate it. While you're standing, if you could turn to John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Just want to speak to you for a few moments. Amen. And it starts here. It says, after this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubling the water, whosoever then first, after troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments. Oh, he's going through the whole thing. That's all right. Amen. Just take it. We'll let it go back to the flag. I'd like to speak to you for the next few moments on this thought. I can. I can. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, we pray you'll touch the hearts of your people right now. Bless them, Lord, with your spirit and your word. Speak to our hearts. Touch these lips of clay. And we bind every spirit and spirit that would hinder the moving of your spirit. We bind them all in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. That's all right. Just let them play through, and then just once it gets to the flag, I'll go from there, and I'll control it the rest of the way. I want to speak to you on this thought, I can. I can. When I begin to think of this, I begin to think of when I was a child. I used to hear a little story about a little train that used to tell a story when I was a little boy about the train that went something like this. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And it talks a story, talks about the fact that this little train was meeting a great obstacle. And this obstacle was a huge hill, and he had a heavy load on his back. And as he approached the hill, he began to say within himself, I think I can. I think I can. And he kept pushing and pushing until he made it over the brow of the hill. And when he started on down the other side, he began to chant, I know I could. I know I could. I began to think about that little song, that little story when I began to read this, and the Lord began to talk to my heart about this. Because you see, this man that was at the pool of Bethesda was living there for 38 years. And if you've been in a situation for 38 years like this man has been, you get to have a problem with your mind where you say, I can't. I can't. And sometimes, folks, we don't have to wait 38 years for that to happen. We can get a mentality and have a mentality of, I can't do this. I can't do this. Amen. And so tonight I want to speak to you on the thought that I can. And the one that I want to speak to you about more than anything is that I can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. I can be a witness. Hallelujah. The one thing you need to realize about this topic that we're reading here tonight is simply this, that the word Bethesda has a dual meaning in the Aramaic and in the Greek. The dual meaning is simply this. It means the house of mercy or the house of grace. But it also can mean the house of disgrace. The choice is yours. The choice belongs to you. Because you see, this man lived in the house of mercy and the house of grace, but he chose to live in disgrace. Do you know something tonight? When you're standing here or sitting in the presence of God, you're in the house of mercy tonight. You're in the house of grace tonight. Hallelujah. But you can also be sitting in a position of disgrace if you have an I can't mentality. That's not the way the Lord wants us to live. He wants us to live with the thought, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise God. Now also, things in the Word of God are not mentioned just for the sake of putting it on paper that takes on meaning. Do you notice that also it states in the verse here that we have read that there were five porches on this place called Bethesda? Five is a very important number because five means favor and grace. You see, this man that was in this circumstances living in disgrace did not realize he was living in the place of favor and grace. Because if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find out that Joseph, when he gave Benjamin the change of clothes or the messes of food, he gave him five times more than everybody else. And because this man was living in this mentality of I can't, even when the healer of the creator of the earth came into his presence, he did not even know he was there because he had an I can't mentality. I don't know your circumstances tonight, but I'll hear to tell you, you could be living in this place. You could be sitting in this place right now with disgrace in your mind, and the man who can heal you is right here, and you don't even know it. But if you would change your mentality tonight to I can do it, I'll tell you what, the healer is here. The deliverer is here. The one that'll make you happy, he's here. You see, the choice is ours. Hallelujah. I want to have an I can mentality. I want to be able to do what God has called me to do. I believe today that everyone under the sound of my voice wants to do what God has called us to do. But I see in these last days that we are facing some things. We're facing circumstances. The world is changing our thinking and our way of doing things. We notice it in the fact that this world that we live in is what we call a me generation. Everything is about me. Everything is about what I can get. That's not the way I know it in the Bible, but anyways, that's the way the world is. We even see it in some of the songs that are being written. Yes, some of the songs, the new ones are written, are worshiping God. But a lot of them are all about what God's got for me. What have I going to get out of this? What's going on here? We need to be careful that we don't get lulled to sleep and miss the purpose and the cause that Christ has put in our lives. We need to be a witness and a testimony for Him. Hallelujah. I love going into places and meeting people. And when I say that, I mean brand new people. Matter of fact, not too long ago, my wife and I, we were in the Pentecostal shopping mall, and we met this woman. You do know what the Pentecostal shopping mall is, right? Walmart? Right? You can't hardly go in there without finding at least one apostolic in there. In Walmart, I think that's the Pentecostal shopping mall. Okay, well, and the one thing I like about Walmart is they wear name tags. You ever notice that? So you know who you're talking to. And this particular day, my wife and I were in there because, you see, my wife, she loves to shop, but I hate it. But, you see, I like her, so I go with her shopping. Amen? Because I like her. Hallelujah. And I play the part of the dutiful husband, and I hold that there, we call it a trolley, that buggy up. I hold it in place so it doesn't get away from us. And I might stand, but I want to tell you something before I go there. You see, I'm a proud grandpa. They call me Papa. I have 6 grandchildren, and I'm really proud of them. And you'll understand why in a moment, because you see, I will use every tool that God makes available to me to be a witness. Some of us believe, you know, I need to know 5,000 verses of Scripture word for word in order to be a witness, and it has nothing to do with it. It's not what you need to be a witness. How many in here want to be like Jesus? Really? Okay, good. I like this. If you want to be like Jesus, then we need to act like him. Do you know when he ever taught people, he never always went right straight to the word. He took natural, everyday things and began to teach them the principles of God. All right? Now, I've got 6 beautiful grandchildren, and so I went and got a shirt made. This is my prop tonight, brother. I want to show you this shirt. See my granddaughters? They're on the front. But I got my grandsons all on the back. And across the top are the words, Papa's Best. And I wear this shirt, and I like wearing it because I'm proud of them. And when we were in that Pentecostal shopping mall, this lady that was standing behind their desk at the garment change area, because you see, my wife found some things to try on, and I'm standing there holding it, wearing this shirt. And she looks at me, and she said, "Are those your granddaughters?" I said, "Yeah, but look at the grandsons on the back." And she said, "Wow, what a beautiful group of grandchildren." I said, "Yes, and they're all mine." And she said, "Wow, that's beautiful." And then she looked at me. She said, "You're not from around here, are you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." She said, "Well, what are you doing down here?" And I said, "Well, I'm a missionary, and my wife and I were going around sharing our burden for the country of Scotland to different churches." And she looked right at me, Brother Kyle, and she said, "I want to commend you." I said, "Really?" I didn't say anything, because you've already said it. But she said to me, she said, "I want to commend you because I know you sold your home and left your friends, your security, and everything to go to a foreign country and preach the gospel." And I said, "Well, thank you, Mary." And well, see, about that time, my wife comes out of the garment changing area. You know what she wants to do? Go shopping. But she stops because she sees me standing there talking to Mary. And she looks at me. Then she turns and looks at Mary. And she looks back at me. She says, "I'll go this way." I said, "See ya." And away she goes. Because you see, Mary looked at me and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "What makes you different from, let's say, Catholic?" Now, before the enemy comes along and tells you I hate Catholic people, that is the farthest from the truth that can be said. Because there are hundreds and thousands of God-fearing, God-loving people in the Roman Catholic Church. They're waiting for somebody like you to tell them there's more. Right? Okay. So Mary looks at me and she says, "So what makes you different from Catholic?" I said, "Well, Mary, the first thing you need to understand, we're not a religion." Did I pop your bubble? I thought I would heard more than one amen. Come on, folks. We are not a religion. We're about a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. And I looked right at her and said that, and I said, "Now, Mary, if you want to be a part of this, all you got to do is come to an altar, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost." And in the middle of Walmart, as the Holy Ghost began to flow, the tears began to run down Mary's eyes. And I said, "Mary, there's a little apostolic church right over here on 309 Albert Street." She said, "Is that the one on the corner?" I said, "That's the one. Pastor Keck," that's the pastor, by the way, said, "He'll be glad to see you on Sunday morning." She said, "I just might go." Being a witness. And it started with a shirt. Yes, I told the scriptures. Yes, you'll have the scriptures come back to your mind. But you need to use an everyday conversation to begin to talk to somebody. You open up the door, and then you start talking to them about Jesus. But we're so scared of being rejected, we keep our mouth shut. And we need to get over that, because my Bible tells me that God's not the author of fear, but of a sound mind and a pure heart. You need to get over your fears, and you need to start opening up your mouth, because I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost wants to speak through you to other people. Next time somebody looks at you and says, oh, it's a beautiful day out, say, yeah, didn't God put a beautiful sun in the sky? They'll look at you and say, you're a Christian? And you can say, yeah, I am. Well, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Say, okay, fine, I'll go find somebody else. And go and find somebody else to talk to. My wife and I both do this. It wasn't, my wife didn't just walk away. She does it in the airports just as much as I do. We do it wherever we go. We walk into the hotels and we invite the person behind the counter, come on to church with us. You cannot be afraid. You need to get busy and do what God wants us to do, because you see, you need to have an I can mentality. I can be a witness for Jesus. David made this statement because he was facing a giant. He said, is there not a cause? Because you see, David has an I can mentality. When all the rest of Israel ran and fled and hid in the caves and behind the rocks, David was the only one that stood there and said, I can overcome the giant. He had an I can mentality. Do you know why? Because he saw the cause of God. He saw what God could do. He didn't look at his circumstances. You don't need to look at your situation. You don't need to look at that you stutter. You don't need to look that you can't speak right. You just need to start being, I can do this. Look past your circumstances and see how God is going to use you. See how the Holy Ghost is going to flow through you. It all starts by getting a hold of a cause. Do you know what your cause is today, church? Do you know what the cause of the church is? Is it so I can come in here and feel the power of God and begin to worship God and love Him and be around my brothers? No, it's not. Is it so I can come in here and Pastor Kyle get up and preach a solid message and I get strengthened and I get encouraged by the Word of God? No, it's not. Those are blessings, those are privileges, those are benefits, and you need to be in the church doors every time they're open and receive those privileges and benefits. But our cause is we must reach the lost. I believe we are living in the last hours of time, and it's time for the church to stand up and say, I can do this. I can be a witness. Hallelujah. We are the church. But I'm beginning to ask myself, have we lost our focus? Have we lost our focus? Has the world turned our faces in the direction where we're focused so much on ourselves and what we need and what we need to get and what we feel that we deserve to have, that we're missing the focus of Jesus Christ, His cause? I want to share a couple of causes with you. See this man on your left? His name is Colin Lindsay, and this is his wife, Maria. When I met him, he began to tell me a story, because you see, Colin had an I can't mentality. He was facing some charges that somebody had trumped up against him, and they were false charges, but he had no way, Brother Kyle, of defending himself from these charges. He had an I can't mentality. His wife was starting to go to church, but Colin wasn't. And he He said, I can't go to jail. He said, I've been there before. I'm not going back. And so he walked down to the river, which was about 1,000 yards from his home, and stood along the bank and began to look into the water and began to contemplate suicide. That's what happens when you get an I can't mentality. He couldn't see himself losing his family, his home, his income, and all that, and facing anybody ever again. And so he began to contemplate it. About this time, Maria stepped out onto the porch and she hollered, Colin, Colin, where are you? And he snapped out of his thinking and he turned around and he walked back to the home and inside with his wife. The next day, Maria got up and got ready to go to church, and the only closest church to her was 65 miles away in a place called Elgin, Scotland. She went there, and guess what? He went with her. He repented, he was baptized, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost and changed his I can't mentality into I can. Because you see, now he said, I can go to jail. I can face up to this. I can do something. And he knew he still had to go to court and face it, Brother Kyle. He still had to go before the judge. And so a few weeks later, he began to go down and sat in the audience and waited for his name to be called. But he said, oh, man, I got this Savior of mine that I love so much. I can do anything now. And he went in there and he sat in the court. When his name was called, he walked up and he stood before the judge. The judge looked down at the charges, looked down at Brother Lindsay, looked around the courtroom, looked back at the charges, and he said, sir, you can go home. Case dismissed. Hallelujah. You see, the accusers never showed up. You see, that's what happens when you change your mentality. God takes care of your circumstances. God will take care of things for you. If you get your focus on Jesus Christ and what he wants to do, I'm here to declare to you, he will take care of things for you. He had an I can mentality. I'm so excited. This is a good friend of mine. This is the couple that invited us to go to Kemeny to pastor them. Because you see, when we got to Scotland, we didn't just pastor the church in Edinburgh. We drove 168 miles to pastor these folks too and their friends and family. That's why we're trying to raise funds out there, because we need money. You guys pay $3.70 for your fuel. We pay $10.41 a gallon. So don't complain. Anyways, this man, thought I'd throw that in there. $10.41 a gallon, brother, is what we pay. I can't drive 168 miles on a moped. I wish. But I want to tell you something. You see, we started holding services, and we rent too. So by the hour, and I'm watching the time, don't you worry. And by the hour's up, I know what it's like. We have to leave our services. But this particular night after preaching, the Holy Ghost was still moving, and I noticed it was time for us to start packing up. And I looked over at Brother Lindsay, and I said, Brother Lindsay, because the tears were running down his face, the Holy Ghost was all over. I said, Brother Lindsay, will you close in prayer? And he went, no, I can't. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And I closed in prayer, and I was shocked that this man had such an anointing, and he'd been around church for 12 years, and he still couldn't close in prayer. And we began to fellowship with them, teach them, preach to them, minister to them, and then one day Brother Lindsay began to open up to me, and he began to tell me another story. He said, Brother Pastor, he called me Pastor. He said, Pastor, you know I'm a traveler. Traveler, we mean a gypsy here. You call them gypsies, we call them travelers. I said, yes, I know you're a traveler. He said, but you see, my dad doesn't live in a caravan or a small trailer or camper. He said, we live in a home, and there's a reason behind that. He said, because you see, my dad wanted me to go to school. And I want to tell you something. Even still today, folks, most travelers or most gypsies do not get an education. If they get a grade 2 or 3 education, they're doing good, okay? And so his dad wanted him to go to school and graduate. And he said, Pastor, he said, there was only me and one other traveler in a school of 900 students. So you think right away he got teased. And yes, he did. But it wasn't only the students that teased him. You see, the teacher looked at him and said, you're nothing but scum. You're a worthless piece of trash. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. So why don't you just quit and leave and do us all a favor? That's what he heard from his teacher. And then I begin to realize there were still some I can'ts in there. And you see why? It's because the man of God, me, came by and told him, so Brother Lindsay, God wants to use you. But in his mind, he says, I'm scum. I'm worthless trash. Why would God want to use me? Before we left in December, we installed him as pastor of River of Life United Pentecostal Church. You talk about a preacher, because he changed his mind. He saw what God could do, and he began to preach, and he began to preach, and he's still preaching because he's got an I can mentality now. In the last couple of weeks, he's had 12 brand new people, and people talking about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he can. Because he has a new mentality. I can. Hallelujah. But what would have happened to him if the missionary didn't go? He'd still be there. He'd still be going to church, still living with I can't. Hallelujah. What about this young man? His name is Callum Correa. He's half Spanish, half Scottish. His mom is Scottish. Do you see what we are doing here, folks? We're having a home Bible study. But do you see where we're having the home Bible study? That's a coffee shop in the middle of a mall. And if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the name Costa Coffee. And sometimes those coffee shops, Brother Kyle, are busy and full. And where that says Costa Coffee up in this corner is outside in the main aisle that walks up and down the mall. And guess what? We sit out there and do a Bible study if it's busy inside the coffee shop. Do you know why? Because I'm not ashamed of who I serve, and he's a cause, and he deserves to hear the word of God. About 3 weeks ago, he brought a friend of his to church. We had a baptismal service. My son was baptizing a young man. And as his friend stood at the back, and he'd been there, I think, a couple times, and he's looking at that tank, and he said to James, he's a pastor, I need to get in that tank today. Because of a young boy. They got a mentality that says, I can be a witness for Jesus. I can reach my friends. Hallelujah. Dundee, 144,170 causes and no apostolic church. I did not say UPC. I said no apostolic. Kakati, 49,560. Perth, 45,770. Aberdeen, 189,120 causes and no apostolic church. Four cities on the east coast of Scotland. I have not said anything about the north, the south, the west, or central Scotland. Four cities on the east coast. We have 5.5 million causes in Scotland, and I can reach them for Jesus Christ because I believe in Jesus, and I believe he has enabled us to do a work for him, and we can reach these cities. Do you know why? Because I have the cause of Christ in my heart. My Bible tells me it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means to tell me that everybody in West Palm Beach, in this Wellington area, they're not in here tonight. So you have a whole lot of causes right outside your door, and you need to realize they are waiting for you. But has the enemy robbed our focus? Has he stolen from us our purpose? Hallelujah. I may be a missionary. I may be a preacher. But more than anything, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. That's what I want to be. I'm not going to live with the thought of I can't. Or praying that our son and our daughter-in-law, who now pastor the work, you'll hear that in a minute, in the city of Edinburgh, because my wife and I are going to start a church in that city right there. You know why? Because I believe I can start a church. I believe I can reach somebody. I believe I can train somebody to take over the work, and we can go start another one. You need to get a hold of it here more than you ever have, because you see, God wants to do more, and you do not know who you'll be talking to. It could be the next missionary. It could be the next preacher. It could be the next Sunday school teacher. It could be the next best soul winner. You don't know who. And it might be just so simple as, how are you doing today? And it opens the door for a conversation. And you need to take every opportunity you get to tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. What about your co-workers? What about your friends? What about the store clerk, the gas station attendant? Are they not a cause? Don't they deserve to hear it? And we walk by them every day and don't say anything. Because we've lost our focus. I'm not here to condemn you. Don't get that in your mind. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to get in your mind, I can be a witness. I can teach a Bible study. I can win somebody to Jesus Christ. I can do something for Christ. Hallelujah. There's going to be some more slides, and we're going to have another song. And it's called The Gift of a Thistle. There are no words to it, just music. Because you see, it's a Scottish lament. And my wife and I, we lament over Scotland every day. But are you lamenting over West Palm Beach? Are you lamenting over Wellington? If not, it's time for you to start crying out. When was the last time God woke you up in the middle of the night and you fell on your face and began to cry out for souls? Oh, God. Is she a cause? Yes, she is. You can turn that up just a little bit, please. Margaret received the Holy Ghost just before I baptized her in Jesus' name. Passed away now. What if we didn't go? This is a church in Falkirk. Just getting ready to minister. Brother Lindsay bearing Mary in our portable baptistry in the wonderful name of Jesus. This is our granddaughter Kayla. Our families are a cause. This is our son James ministering in the city of Edinburgh. I'm teaching a man from Ghana a Bible study, and there's a lady from the Philippines on the internet. Use the tools that are available to you. Brother and Sister Banji minister in Dundalk, Ireland. 12 children received the Holy Ghost in these services. My wife and I did at kids camp in our general conference. 12 causes. There's our son and daughter who now pastor the work in the city of Edinburgh. My wife is also a licensed minister and ministers nationally. And even babies will worship God if you show them. This is our general conference in Llandudno, Wales. The cause. The cause is souls. The cause is for the church to reach the lost. And if we believe that we're living in the last hours and moments of time, what more mandate do we need? Can we stand? I want to ask you a question tonight. Don't answer it unless you're answering it to Jesus. When was the last time that you came down here and stood at this altar and you began to weep and cry over somebody else beside yourself? And if you can't answer that question, it's been too long. And maybe we've lost our focus. And I'm here to challenge you, please. We're going back to Scotland, but please, you're in the U.S. of A. You're in the state of Florida, and the church needs you. Do you know when you read about David and Goliath, he was approximately between 13 and 17 years of age. But David got a hold of the cause in such a manner that he kept his focus on and overcame three adversaries to fulfill the cause of God, which was kill the giant. 13 to 17-year-old, one boy. But when he slew that giant, this is the most important part. Listen to this. And he held that giant's head up, Brother Kyle, that one little boy. You read in the next few verses, those soldiers that were in the caves behind the rocks, they grabbed their swords, they grabbed their shields, and they grabbed their spears, and they began to chase the Philistines. One boy got a hold of the cause, and he set the whole army on fire. All it takes, church, is for one person in here to get a hold of the cause of Christ tonight. You can turn this church, forget, you can turn this city upside down. If you just get a hold of the cause of Christ, that's win some souls. Let's win our cities for Jesus. Let's win our states. Let's win our country. Come on, shut. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't give altar calls because I believe the altar is open 24/7. Do you remember me earlier saying the choice is yours? Choice is yours. But I do believe that maybe someone should step out of their seat and come down here and say, Lord, if you will use me, I will open my mouth. God, if you put somebody in my path tomorrow, I promise you, Lord, I will speak to them. God, if you will just anoint me, I will get down and pray for so-and-so. I won't stop, Lord, until they're in the church. Because you see, folks, the world has taken the cross and smoothed it out and polished it and made a beautiful emblem to hang around our necks, when that's not what it is. The cross, I know, is a rugged cross. The cross, I know, is a place of death, a place of pain and suffering for one purpose only, just to reach the lost. And maybe we just not need to let one more precious drop of his blood touch our hearts tonight. And feel that love and compassion begin to pulsate through our hearts like never before. And we won't stop. We won't give up until we reach somebody for Jesus. Oh, Jesus. If you can use someone, Lord, here am I. Hallelujah. I like the new songs they sing. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about them old songs. There's something about the blood. There's something about the song about Calvary. There's something about the old rugged cross that we can never lose, church. Because it's a rugged cross that made a difference. It's that rugged cross that keeps me focused. It's that rugged cross that gives me a burden to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God.
Hallelujah. Let's continue to pray for a moment. The Lord has visited us. He has visited us tonight with a stirring message. Come on, just a moment longer. Keep your mind focused on Him. Let your heart call upon Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been teaching and preaching about giving our bodies to Him. This is what it's all about. When we give our bodies to the Lord, He's going to take that body and He's going to use it for His glory. He's going to reach a soul. That is always the foremost focus of Christ, to reach a soul. Lord, we give our bodies to You. God, to use our tongues to You, our eyes, our vessels. We're asking You tonight, Lord, stir up afresh in us about winning the loss. Stir it up afresh in us, oh God. Let something come alive on the inside of us, oh Lord. Let it come alive, oh God. Oh, let a burden get a hold of us all over again. Let us see ourselves when we were lost, but somebody came to us. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody reached for us. Oh, Father, let us go out and do the same. Lead us to someone or lead someone to us. But help us, oh God, to open our mouths. Help us to love them with Your love. Love them with Your passion. Oh, share Your grace, Your mercy. Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody focused on the Lord right now. Come on, just a few moments longer. Well, let's just speak to God right now about what you heard tonight. So let Him get deep down inside of your heart with this message. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ha, ha. Lord, we praise You. We love You, God. Turn us into mighty witnessers. Turn us into mighty soul winners, oh God. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Help us to see the calls of the soul tonight, Lord. Praise God. Brother Beek ministering tonight dealt with two major aspects in his message. One was fear, and the other was the cause. We look back at this great example that he gave concerning David and the men of the army that were hiding. The men in the army, they also knew there was a cause. They knew that this man had to be defeated, this army had to be defeated, or their families and their children would be under the captivity of the Philistines. But their fear was greater than their love of the cause. So they hid. But David's love of the cause was greater than his fear of the giant. And that's what has to happen to us. We know there's a cause, but our fear is greater. It would be like standing on the edge of a mighty, powerful, rushing river, and somehow you have to get to the other side. And there's a reason for it, but it's not great enough to overcome your fear. And then all of a sudden, you see one of your loved ones fall into that same river. What are you going to do? Instantly, you're going to jump into that river. Why? Because all of a sudden, your love for the cause became greater than your fear of the obstacle. And that's what has to happen to us. Somehow, we have to lose self. We have to lose pride. We know we all deal with this, right? And the fear of rejection, like this wonderful brother spoke to us tonight about, is greater than our love for the cause. And we have to let our love for the cause become the greatest thing in our life. And I'm here to tell you, you're only going to receive that through prayer about souls. When's the last time we travailed about someone else? When you begin to really travail over souls, your love will grow in that cause, and it will become greater than your fear of rejection or embarrassment or what other people think about you or what they might think about you. But something inside of you will be greater than that. God, I don't care what they think. I don't care if I'm no longer thought well of about these people, my boss or coworkers. This person is hungry for you, and you've put them in my life, and I'm going to open up my mouth because the cause is greater. Brother Beek, thank you for that word. Thank you for that word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. This church supports well over 100 missionaries, nearly 135 missionaries. Brother Beek's family is one of those. And I'm going to tell you, when men like this step into this pulpit and deliver a message about winning the loss and show us what's going on in their country, I'm excited about being able to support this kind of a ministry. Amen? Praise God. I want to do something. We got 8 minutes and we're going to close. I remember a few years ago, quite a few years ago, there was a brother came through and they were purchasing these portable baptistries. And we actually bought quite a few of those. However, yours are much more expensive. His is $1,200. To get it bought, packed, and shipped. But I wonder what you've got. How many you got so far? About $1,200 a piece. You have seven of them, and how many are you trying to buy? Ten. Three more. Okay, so we're going to do this in $100 allotments, and we'll see how far we can go. I know it's a Wednesday night. My wife and I will give $500 towards a baptistry, but I'm not asking for that from anyone here unless you think you can do that. And what we're going to do is just go off where we can go. We'll see what we can do with it. The reason why I like baptistries is that's an investment that when it gets over there, there's going to be 1,000 people put in that water. And every time a soul goes down in the water of that baptistry, your $100 goes ching. In heaven. I know that sounds carnal, but that's the way it works, folks. It's the way it works. And God's going to look down when that soul goes down in that baptistry. God's going to know. He's going to remember you gave to help that baptistry be there. for people to be saved. So we're going to give you till January the 1st. No. What's today? This is May. I don't know why I'm thinking we're in October. This is May 7th. So we'll do 1 month, okay? So what's the next month? June. All right, so June the 7th or the first Sunday of June, all right, $100. How many people would be willing to give $100 between now and June? I need you to hold your hand up. I'm not going to take your name down. Put your hand up and keep it up, all right? I'm just going to trust that you have the Holy Ghost. Put your hand up, keep it up. Do not put your hand down. One, now you can put it down. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. I've got you, sister, in the dress standing. 34, 35. Did I count you? I didn't count you. 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Am I missing a hand? Is that everybody? $4,500, brother. We're gonna finish your baptistries. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise. Send it up. Send it up. God, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. Thank you for blessing, God. Thank you for purchasing these baptistries, Lord. Thank you for the souls. Come on, somebody. Thank you for the souls that are going to be baptized in these baptistries, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. 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 Now, pastor is going to write that check tonight because I trust you. And when you put it in the envelope, you mark baptistry on it so I can replenish the foreign missions account, okay? This money is going to come out of the foreign missions account to this man tonight. I'm not going to hold up the baptistry because you got a month to give you money. So 30 days. $100. All right? You can do it. You are the greatest people in the world. I love you. Thank you for giving to the kingdom of God. Oh, my Lord. One more time. Come on. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. Greet one another. Hug one another. Love one another.